Hey guys, girls, gamers, nerds alike, and those who found this podcast by mistake, welcome to the show.
Here we look at games old and new, from character designs all the way to gameplay. It's all here from dusty cartridges
to broken discs. We take you through all the games that you love growing up with, as well as the games you play today. He's Big Dave.
And he's Glenn.
And he's Adam. Before we get into it, if you like the show, remember to like, comment, and smack that trigger finger on the subscribe button. With that, let's dust off that cartridge, pick up the controller, hit the power button, and start this week's episode. On this week's episode, we are talking Street Fighter. Have to admit, probably one of my favorite beat 'em up games from back in the day. I absolutely loved it. So, Dave, can I ask you a question about Street Fighter?
Sure, you can.
Do you remember it well?
No, not really. No, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those games that you played, obviously, back at, like, when arcades were actually a thing.
Yes.
The old arcades and that, and he was one of my favourite characters. I liked Guile. Guile was one of my favourite characters.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone knows the Guile theme.
I'll tell you what, they were great games, and I mean, especially playing actually in the arcade was brilliant, because you didn't have this, like, the D-pad thing, did you? Or the, you know, you had buttons and a stick. You literally had, like, the gear stick for your car, and you're like, come on, yeah! You know, as you're proper going for it. So, sort of, which was your favourite Street Fighter game?
To be honest, one of the... Probably Street Fighter... Well, actually, to be honest, I quite like the newer ones, you know, Street Fighter, like Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Like the newer style, because I like the art style. I really like the new art style in them.
The art style has changed a lot, and it does look really good. I mean, I've recently played Street Fighter 5, and it's actually... I am going to say this now. It's usually Adam that says something like this, but I am shockingly bad at this game. Like, extremely bad. I had to put the game on easy and button bash, and Bison still beat me. Literally wiped the floor with me, and for half of the match, he was stood there doing nothing.
Funnily enough, Glenn, I am awful at it as well.
I was going to turn around and go, this is the only game I'm really good at.
I'm amazing at the game.
I am, like...
Like you say, button bashing, I'm not actually good at it.
I am proper shit at it.
I'm just amazing at button bashing.
Adam, what about you? Any fond memories of Street Fighter?
Yeah. I mean, not of Street Fighter 1, because unfortunately I was a bit too young, because like, it came out before I was even born.
So, yes,
like,
1987, the year me and Dave were born.
Yeah, so by the time like I was old enough to actually get into an arcade and be able to reach the buttons on the machine, like, obviously Street Fighter 2 was out by then.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, like I have obviously the memories of, like, you walking into the arcade, you see the machine, and then you see the I just vividly remember the opening animation of the two guys just stood in front of that massive building, and he just punches one of them in the face, and then the camera just pans up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That drew me in straight away, obviously.
That's the thing, though, wasn't it? It was a mixture of, like, all the bright colours that you were looking at, as well as the blood and gore. You know, that's the bit you loved. Yeah. I think that's the thing that sort of entice. I mean, it did really well, especially for the first Street Fighter. I mean, going back off it, so it started off, as we've just said, life as an arcade game back in 1987. And you started off playing as, obviously, the main character of the game, and we all know is Ryu, and his American friend Ken. Got that right, Anna? Yeah, it is Ken. Yeah. Double checking there, folks, you know. But obviously the game focuses around the tournament.
Yeah.
And that's travel across... You start across, you know, traveling across five different countries, and in the first game, you only fight 10 characters. I think in the new games, like, what's, like, Street Fighter 5 at the moment, like, 40-something, 44 characters or something.
Yeah, there's
like
loads
that.
Now. Yeah.
There's actually absolutely
new games, to be totally honest with you.
Oh.
I don't...
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think I've played a Street Fighter game since Street Fighter Anniversary when that was on Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what I'm trying to think, like, from the really old games. Again, I haven't played the old games for years.
It's been a while.
It's one of them. Like, what were the original characters in the older ones? So you had Ryu, Ken, obviously Bison, Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Kami one of the original ones? I can't.
But basically, so with these characters, sort of, yeah, were brought in what ran out Street Fighter 2, weren't they? Mm. Now with Street Fighter 2, there's been like 7 or 8 different games of Street Fighter 2. Yeah, so I think it was Street Fighter 2, then Street Fighter 2 Remix, and then Street Fighter 2 Ultimate, and then they just kept bringing out more and more, and with each one you got a newer character.
The original Street Fighter 2 had 8 playable characters, as far as I'm aware. But then, like you said, they kept iterating on it, and then there was more and more and more characters.
But that was the thing with Street Fighter 2. It was one of the first games to actually give you the ability to pick from more than just your original 1 or 2 characters. Look at like the likes of Sonic. You could only play as Sonic. And then obviously they brought along that you could play as Knuckles. Look at Super Mario. You could pick Mario or Luigi. You know, you had no other game that gave you the option to pick from a collection.
Funnily enough, there was a game before Street Fighter 1. I think it was... I don't think it was made by Konami, but I know that they took influence from it. It was called like Yi-Ya Kung Fu. It was based on like Bruce Lee, and it was like you had to fight like martial arts masters, but you could pick and choose your character. And one of the characters was a female martial arts character as well.
All right.
So it's kind of where it got his influence from. And then when they were making Street Fighter 1, apparently they loved Enter the Dragon. So they wanted to do this international fighting tournament, obviously, but they wanted it to feel like a film as you were playing it. So they tried to like base it on that a little bit, and obviously, like, you know, the style and the shouting and the screaming and the sounds and stuff, like the kind of stuff. Like it is quite Bruce Lee, you know, the screams when they're moving around and they're punching and they're kicking and stuff.
Yeah, I never knew about that game. I've not heard of it. I might have to look into that.
The one champ as well.
Yeah. The one thing I did look at as well in regards to sort of Street Fighter 1 and 2 and how it changed is in Street Fighter 1, the original one, your characters had 3 punch moves and 3 kick moves, and that was it. In Street Fighter 2, each character had a combination of 30 different moves each. So it was like one of the first games to give you more than just I can punch you and I can kick you. Now you could spin on your head and your legs were like split, flipping around. You could fire energy balls and all sorts.
That's it. It's got so competitive now. I mean, obviously nowadays you have the proper competitions. Though,
you do, It's like, massive.
It's the same with Tekken, you know, and you know, things like that. I mean, I don't really know if Soul Calibur do the competitions.
Not
as
a
well,
bit. I think it does, but it's not as big.
Funny you should mention them two games, because they're the two games that I sold out Street Fighter 4.
Go on.
I was just gonna say, as time's gone on, obviously with the Street Fighter games, like you said, then Tekken, they did Street Fighter X Tekken.
Exactly.
You had that game as well.
And it was the art style, though. The art style from Street Fighter, mate. Obviously, with Tekken, they had more of the realistic look going on, really. Whereas, Street Fighter looked very cartoony. With like the big, massive hands, the big, massive feet and stuff like that.
Am I wrong in thinking that...
Probably.
Street Fighter was more like Nintendo or Sega, yet Tekken, because I remember Tekken being on the PlayStation, which is why I ended up.
Yeah, so Tekken was on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Street Fighter and the likes of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat were on like Sega and Nintendo, whereas Mortal
That's
Kombat was
why,
very heavily censored.
Yeah, I didn't really have Nintendo when I was growing up. It was Sega than PlayStation for me.
Yeah, and I know Street Fighter was on Sega. because that's how I played Street Fighter 2. I remember I used to go around to my dad's on a Saturday. I wouldn't want to sit and speak to my dad or anything. I just want to play Street Fighter. You know, I really didn't care about any, the whole world around me. I was oblivious to it.
Hi, Glenn.
The could have been the Great Flood, and I still wouldn't have cared. I would have been playing Street Fighter. It was either Street, the games that my dad had when I was growing up and playing Sega. It is was Street Fighter. He'd have Looney Tunes Back in Action. And I think it was like Alex the Kid or something like that. Those were the only games he had. He didn't have a big collection. I just like spammed Street Fighter. And I don't know how I'm so bad at it, but it seems the only game I actually played growing up at my dad's, you know, every Saturday I played it. And you just, I was like, I'd button bash. I, you know, I didn't know any of the moves. I didn't know. You'd do something, you'd be like, oh, wow. How did I do that? Yeah. And you could never recreate how you did it. And you just do like a super awesome move and you're like, yeah, I'm never going to be able to do that again.
To be fair, Street Fighter 2 was one of the first, was it, if not the first game to allow you to do combos?
Yeah.
And apparently that was like a it was an accident as well, because they needed, you know, the special power, like the Hadouken and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to import, you had to press certain buttons for him to do that move.
Yeah.
So they had to extend the amount of time that you were allowed to input the buttons for. And because they did that for that move, it accidentally allowed you to put more fighting moves in. So then combos were created from that.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, to be fair, that's what makes Street Fighter, the combos. Yeah. And it's not the fact, you know, it's not like Mortal Kombat where you could just do left, right, X and you'd punch somebody, you know. This one, you'd have to like be so super fast, sort of running your finger around the edge or something like that, so you hit like all the circles.
It goes back to Dave's special move, doesn't it, when he's like...
Yeah, exactly.
I was the best at button bashing. I'm not even going to lie. That was a beast. I mean, getting back on track. Have you seen like the Mugen things where the developers and that and people, a lot of people in the spare time, really, they take obviously the blueprint for Street Fighter and then they add their own characters, just characters from other shows and other games and that into, you know, like the Street Fighter, you know.
Is this your way of like plugging a Northern Dreamers version of the game?
No. Yeah, me kicking Chun Li's ass.
Pick from six fighters.
But it's pretty good. You'll have to look into it. I mean, I don't actually know a lot about it really, but I know people we've been on like design courses and
what
stuff like that.
What was it called again,
like,
Dave?
Mugen. It's like, just type in like Street Fighter and then just pop Mugen. And then you'll see a lot of like things that, I mean, they've taken like characters from animes and stuff like that and put them in Street Fighter, you know, the older style Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
You can literally, the amount of characters you can add are ridiculous, you know, that people are putting in.
That's cool.
They're really good.
The great thing with, obviously, the majority of this is circling around Street Fighter 2. Street Fighter 2 pretty much single-handedly like rebuilt the gaming industry because there was a massive crash of, you know, in the gaming industry. It crashed massively. And Street Fighter 2 just like overshadowed every other game when it was released. It did so well in sales that it was being packaged with consoles. You know, and I think that's why there's been so many reiterations of Street Fighter 2. And it's the fact that we're only on, what, Street Fighter 5 now? But think about all the other games that have come between. You know, we've had loads. Street Fighter is one of those ones. It's just been immortalized. These games, you know, most people you speak to will have played this game, will know what it is.
We've also had the greatest movie of all time.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Right. Every episode we talk about at least a film that's been made from a game. Although I did notice that we didn't talk about the Final Fantasy movies, which we'll have to do on Final Fantasy Revisited at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, we've looked at all the films. Street Fighter movie. As I said to you guys when we were doing the research for this episode, I went down the rabbit hole just to sort of look at Jean-Claude Van Damme's sort of like cocaine habits during this film. And it was just, I think he spent more on coke than he actually spent on making the movie. But, I mean, no, I'm sorry. It was just a camp, very camp film, put it that way.
It's just the idea of John Van Damme just like snorting something and then just coming up with Guile's hair anyway. He's like, oh. I'm making a film.
We must say now that Jean-Claude Van Damme he's no longer on cocaine.
Big fan of the show.
So yeah, keep him sweet.
Kicked his cocaine habit, and from what I hear now, he's a really nice guy to work with. But back then, he wasn't. You know, he thought he was the dog's bollocks, basically. And you know, he starred in Time Cop, and then that's it. He just thought, yeah, I'm amazing now.
Well, to be fair, he did do films like Bloodsport and stuff, which were absolutely...
Yeah, Universal Soldier.
Yeah. So. To be fair, one of my all-time favourite things of him is the Coors Light adverts. Yeah, just in the mountains where he's like, I could hear my nipples whispering.
Yeah, but he's no Chuck Norris.
No, exactly.
Well, that's him. No one's Chuck Norris. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no one. But, I mean, going back to the film, I mean, realistically, what did you think of the film?
God, it was awful. I'd watch it, and I'd watch it again. Like,
I could watch it again.
I would watch it just to see how bad it is and just realise, God, what was I thinking watching it?
Sometimes, though, it's one of those ones that it's so bad, it's good. There's bits of it that are really good. But then you sort of think, why have they just literally thrown Kylie Minogue in it? And it's like, there was so many people in this film.
Why did you put her in it?
There's like so many scenes that it's just like, they've put loads of people in this film and loads of names. It's like, you've got to give everyone enough screen time, and you just couldn't.
It was an example of them thinking, if they just get loads of stars from whatever background, it didn't matter what background they had. If they just got stars and big names and threw them all together.
We don't need a script.
Shut the fuck up. That's that. Funnily, you should say that. They were so behind on filming that the director literally just pulled pages of the script out and threw them away because they were so behind. Now, I remember reading that while they were shooting, I believe it was in Thailand, it was so hot that the scaffolding started to melt. It was that hot. And obviously, at this point, Van Damme's probably in his trailer snorting an ounce of cocaine off someone.
We were complaining at 28 degrees the other day.
I was melting. I had to buy a new fan. It was very, very hot.
So, obviously, like I said, I was very, very young when it came out.
Yeah.
First started playing it. So, before you call me stupid, just bear in mind that I was very young. So, I used to think that Blanka was the Hulk.
I can see where you come from. I can see where you come from with that.
He was green. He wore only shorts or whatever, his bottoms were. And I thought it was a superhero game when I was young.
It was how Dave looked up a second ago, though. He just looked up in utter disgust. He was just like,
what are you doing with your life?
I also thought that Vega was Wolverine, so... You
know. What?
You know, as a child, he had claws. Like, he had three...
He wore skinny, like, matador pants.
But I didn't know what matador pants was. I was, like, 4 years old.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, at that point, Dave was well-travelled and well-versed in all the cultures of the world.
You see the green of... Blanka and think Hulk, and then you see the claws on Vega and think Wolverine. Like,
maybe that's where they got the inspiration from, you know.
Oh, God.
In regards to the film, though, as well, the film itself was basically a financial success. It did really well financially. However, it has been voted one of the worst video game movies of all time. Now,
that said, have you seen the Mario film?
We have talked about the Mario film.
We rip on the Mario film a lot on this show. A lot. But
I don't know which is worse, though, the Mario film or the Street Fighter film.
I think they're on par. They're on par with each other.
Definitely on par.
But obviously, the actor who played Bison, what is it, Raul Julian? He was in Adam's Family. He played Gomez in Adam's Family.
Oh, okay.
He actually didn't get to see the film because he passed away, didn't he? Yeah, he passed away not long after making the film and didn't quite make it to the premiere. Now, he actually was battling illness while making the film to the point that he turned up to the dressing room one day to put on his makeup. And they were like, honestly, no one knew that he was sick. And he turns up and they said he looked dead when he turned up. And they're like, you can't go on. You know, we can't film when you're looking like this. But he pushed through and he did it. And I mean, that's dedicated. If he was alive now, honestly, his work would be phenomenal. He was a great actor. I mean, obviously, we know him from the films that we saw growing up, but he did so much more than that. It's just unfortunate that this was his last film. He did actually get an award, though. You know, he got a post-mortem award for his performance on the film, which, to be fair, he was terrifying as Bison. He was.
To be fair, he did play a good Bison.
He was probably the best part of the film, to be honest. I think that was the only thing that sticks in my mind is just Bison in this film. And I loved it for that in particular. But I mean, with Street Fighter now, I mean, Dave, you love the music from most games. Have you got anything to say about the music for Street Fighter?
Well, again, like I said in the beginning, I mean, Guile was one of like a very memorable, you know, theme, really. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I mean, like you said, the music was really good with it, mainly, but...
It was a lot of, like, neo dancecore and stuff like that as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, true. Neo-pop. I mean, I quite liked some of the music from the other, like, have you seen... actually, speaking of that, have you seen any of the, like, animated films?
I've seen one or two.
I've seen clips. I've never actually watched the full
film. There's the animated movie, and then you've got like the Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha.
Yeah.
I think there's like films on them as well, but the original animated film, it's one of them. Like the art quality on that in that is really, really good. I mean, they must have put a lot of money. I've not actually looked into it. I mean, it's one of them. It's like we should really do a bit more research, I suppose. But the art,
Dave, do research for an episode? Never. How dare you?
But I do remember, this episode, like, your idea?
No, it actually wasn't. It was Glenn. But I mean, the art style in that, they must have had a really big budget. I'm really curious about that now, so I will have to look it up. But
I mean, just playing sort of Street Fighter V at the moment, when you've done a character's story, it's very like storyboarded
sort of stories.
But the detail in the pictures is amazing, especially when you unlock, after you've played a bit of the story as that character, you unlock that character's ending and you've got all their artwork of like what, you know, how they were meant to look and all the different styles. You know, when you, as you guys know, you've done this sort of development stages of making something, and you sketch them out and you give them color, you give them shading, you're basically giving them life in these pictures, and you have to make them look as detailed as possible because that's going to be the selling point when you can go to whoever's making the game and go, this is the character, this is what they look like, this is them, you know, and you draw them in all these different styles and different positions doing different things. And that's what, you know, Street Fighter has got done really well, to be honest. Like Dave said, you know, the artwork is fantastic. And even when you say, you've got the animated films, but you've got the manga as well. You know, there's manga of Street Fighter, which I think I've read like one or two. I've not read too much of it. I did briefly flick through quite a few things. And again, their attention to detail on these things is brilliant.
But that was the thing. That's what I was kind of getting at, really, because it's strange how like the animated film, which came, it's an old film now. I mean, I think it came out like the early 90s or something like that. It was definitely in the 90s. And the art style in that was stronger than some of the newer animated films that have come out, you know, the newer Street Fighter animated films. I don't know why the budget was so high on that one. I mean, the art style was really good. But
they've definitely put thought into it as well.
Came out in 1996.
Yeah, 96, yeah.
You've started high school then.
Yeah, the Street Fighter 2 movie, is that what you're talking about?
It could be that one. I'll just have to check myself.
The full animated movie is on YouTube.
There you go.
But while we're on the subject of sound, one sound that used to terrify me was the elephant screams in the background of what was it called? Dalsim's level.
Yeah.
The elephants just screamed continuously, and you'd be like, no! It didn't sound like elephants.
I can't even remember
that's
that.
That's what used to frighten me. It's like, they sounded nothing like elephants.
But
although visually, that was one of the best levels as well. My my personal favourite level, though, is Balrog's level. The Las Vegas scene.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You basically fighting Mike Tyson in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They had so many for Street Fighter 2 when it was launched and it's come out and across the world. Each version of the game had a different ending bad guy. So it wasn't always Bison. It sort of moved around. When it released Remix and Turbo and whatnot, that's when you started to find that Bison was the main villain at the end of it all.
What I did love, though, when Bison was like the final boss is when you beat him at the end of the game, this is on Street Fighter 2 again, and he stood on like the little podium thing, like basically turned away with his back to everyone having a little bit of a
assault.
Bit. and then you slowly walk off into the sunset, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the best. I am the one.
And that's the thing, everyone sort of shouts out the moves. You know, it's like what we've already done on this episode, like Hadouken,
Backbergen, round one, fight.
But that's the thing. A lot of these now, the 2D sort of side scrolling fighting arcade style games, sort of used Street Fighter as a blueprint. Look at like Guilty Gear. You know, that's definitely taken its aspect from this because it's very similar in the way that it's designed and the style.
It is the blueprint for a lot of, like, say, nowadays games. And what were those?
Well, Tekken. Have you seen any of the?
I don't suppose you've played any like the Persona games. Have you played any of those type of ones? They've even got like branched into getting like fighting games now as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can tell it is just one of them. I mean, I'm trying to think what was first. Was it Street Fighter? Was Street Fighter first, or was like Mortal Kombat and that first?
Street Fighter was first, I think.
Street Fighter was that.
I don't think Mortal Kombat came out until the 90s.
I can't.
It would have come out around the same time as Street Fighter 2, wasn't it? On the same.
Yeah.
But Mortal Kombat offers something completely different. To see how you feel about Mortal Kombat, tune into our Mortal Kombat episode. When it will be?
Yeah. We'll don't know.
If you're binge watching, tune into episode number here.
Glenn loves a plug.
You've got to.
I know, yeah, he does that.
We've got to please our fans.
Like, obviously Tekken came out after, so I feel like Tekken was very heavily influenced by Street Fighter. And so came the age of button mashing. Serious button mashing.
Dave.
But I mean, with you say that, but I mean, I think with Street Fighter was happy to stay with the whole 2D thing for a long time.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The other games, like Adam was saying, like Tekken and that, they seem to go straight into the 3D. You know,
that's just because of the consoles that they were released on, though.
Well, not really, because you say that, but I mean, I know Street Fighter, obviously, at the time, you know, 2D was probably the easiest for them to use, but even when they went onto the better machines, they still stuck with 2D for a long time.
True.
Until, obviously, branching out into, like, Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5, when, obviously, now they've gone a slightly completely different, like, art style and that, and they've gone down the 3D route, but even when they had, like, say, they were on the better machines, they still stuck with the 2D style.
I suppose, though, like, Street Fighter 1 obviously had to be 2D because it was in 1987, it was on
arcade machines,
so that was... But then, for Street Fighter 2, why would they change the art style when they knew that worked? So they just improve on it and just add to it?
Well, yeah, you could say that, but then if that's the case, what was the point in changing their art style to 3D now for the newer games when there's a lot of 2D style games like Persona, like what's like Glenn was saying, like Guilty Gear. I'm sure they're still like the 2D.
Yeah, they're still like the 2D side scrolls.
No, I mean, there was no point if changing then, you know, if it already worked, you know, if, with that argument, you know.
I think with Street Fighter, it just wanted to move with the times, didn't it? I mean, it's done so many 2D games that they worked really well, and it was like, right, let's branch out into 3D. Let's see what the fuss is about. I mean, even the 3D ones, they're still sort of the side-scrolling sort of bit.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Like it's not like you've got a full 3D arena to move around. Mm-hmm. They've just changed it. I'd say it's the style, isn't it? They've just changed it.
Yeah.
And we get more 3D videos now.
You can't just keep producing the same style over and over again for like fucking 45 different games.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Was he ever a character that you guys like really struggled against? Like, again, mine was Dalsim. I just could not work out his when he does his like because he got stretchy limbs.
It was the distance. I mean, he could reach so far.
I just could never beat him. He just used to absolutely ruin me every time.
To be fair, Blanka did used to kick my ass as well.
Yeah, like especially when he sort of like covered up and sort of started charging.
Doing his electric bloody thing.
Yeah, no, that was another one that really was. What was the sumo wrestler called again?
E-Honda.
It's that hand one that he did when you got too close to him.
When he does a flying headbutt.
Yeah, sort of like, yeah. You know, even when you're trying to be Chun-Li and sort of spin upside down and kick him, he still gets you. Like, damn you! I'm calling game over there, guys. If you like the show, please hit that like button, comment and smash that subscribe button. It really does help the show and also helps our egos grow a bit.
If you guys have any games you think we should look at, then leave them in the comments below. We've probably already played them, but we're always happy to play them again.
If you've enjoyed the show, make sure you check us out on our other podcast, The Northern Dreamers. You can find it wherever you find this show, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, and Deezer. For now, I've been Big Dave.
I've been Adam.
And I've been Glenn. See you next time on the next episode of From Dusty Caches to Broken Discs. Da da da, la da 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 da, la. It's over.
Oh God.
See if you can guess what next week's episode is.